Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. Wanted to get into a story that I just saw on CNBC that really highlights the predicament I think the United States economy is in right now. And the headline is all about Joe Biden and his approval ratings. So, I mean, I don't want to sit here and dunk on Joe Biden because that's pretty easy to do. But I want to get more into the meat of the article because this is where it explains this difficult situation the U.S. finds itself in, and maybe even the global economy for that matter. So let's shoot into this article. CNBC, let's get to the top here. Biden's economic approval rating falls to new low on fear about inflation, according to this CNBC survey. So key talking points here, President Joe Biden overall and economic approval rating, or Joe Biden's overall and economic approval numbers dipped to the lowest levels of his presidency, according to the CNBC All American study. His economic approval rating dropped 5 points from April's survey to 30%. And this is lower than the absolute bottom for Trump and Obama. Americans are taking a variety of steps. And this is, I think, the most important part of the article here. Americans are taking a variety of steps to contend with higher prices. Some 65% of those polls said they are cutting back on entertainment, and 4 of 10 are spending less on groceries. See, that's weird to me. I don't know that they're buying less food, but maybe trying to substitute things that are cheaper. Like, as an example, when I'm in Phoenix, most of you guys know I always go to this Whole Foods there. And if I was really pinched for money, I'd still be buying the same probably amount of food, but I wouldn't be going to Whole Foods. I'd be going to Fry's or whatever the Safeway or whatever the local grocery store is there, and buying a lot cheaper bread, a lot cheaper bottled water, a lot cheaper vegetables, etc. And I think that's kind of what they're talking about here. But this concept, I think, is something we need to think through very carefully. And I addressed it on the last whiteboard video I did last Thursday, where I talked about this idea of deflationary inflation. And at surface level, that sounds ridiculous. That's quite an oxymoron. But if you think about it, I think these two forces are occurring simultaneously. So what's happening is the price of the stuff you need, shelter, food, energy, is going up or remaining very, very high. So what I was saying is these economic forces are happening at the same time. So you've got the prices. Oh, now I got to look at this camera. The prices of the stuff that you need, shelter, food, energy, going up or staying at a very high level. This is sucking aggregate demand away from things you don't need, such as entertainment, probably, you know, airfare. I think this is another thing that they commented on, how the prices of airfare coming down. And so you see these deflationary pressures in the items that you don't need, and all these sales. You know, we talked about the bullwhip effect for clothing at Macy's and whatnot, while at the same time, the stuff you do need, the prices are consistently high, if not going even higher. And so, again, deflationary inflation. So this leads me to the conclusion that most likely we'll see disinflation in Q3, Q4. But a lot of that depends on rent and this owner's equivalent rent, which is just such a bogus number in and of itself. But it's like 30, 35% of the CPI. So if we see rents level off, which I don't, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but that would, whatever rents do, basically, if the CPI were to capture that accurately, that would pretty much be the direction of the entire metric, just because such a large percentage of it, the weighting, is in those owner equivalent rents, which again is not really a measurement of even rent. It's just kind of some abstract number they pull out of thin air. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. Let's keep going down here. And as we think through kind of how this plays out with the U.S. economy, if the stuff we need is going up in price and therefore taking aggregate demand away from the stuff we don't need, potentially bringing prices down or some disinflation in those areas. So back to Sleepy Joe's approval rating here. Basically, it's horrible. It's the worst of all time. Maybe Jimmy Carter might have been worse, but it's bad. A rocky economic outlook. The president's dismal numbers come amid the worst economic output from these measures that CNBC has recorded in for the last 15 years. Wow, I didn't realize that. Of the participants, 52% believe the economy will get worse over the next year, and just 22% believe it'll improve. Both are survey records, and they are worse than those found during the Great Financial Crisis. Holy cow, I didn't realize that. Man, let me read that again. That's a big deal. Both are survey records, and they are worse than those found during the Great Financial Crisis. I mean, I think most of you on this live stream remember the GFC, and that was not a good time. And what's so bizarre is during the GFC, I mean, you could see economic activity plummet. Things like getting a reservation for a restaurant, that became very easy. Like it was just a ghost town. Now, or well, maybe it's changed though in the last few months. So I haven't been in the U.S. for probably, well, I was there on a speaking tour, but that I didn't really go to Whole Foods that much. I didn't really have that boots on the ground intel. But maybe those restaurants are a little more open now than they were when I was in the U.S. in 2021. So more than 6 out of 10 people expected a recession in 12 months. Another 6% believe the country is already in one. Such, and this is key, guys, such levels have only been found during actual recessions. So very powerful indicator. Just 38% of the public believe their home price will increase next year. And that takes me to another story I want to do today that I saw breaking news on CNBC that the home builder sentiment, I think, is like crashing. They said that sales are low. It's a complete night and day difference from just 3 or 4 months ago. So stay tuned for that story here later on this afternoon. Going back to this poll, it found that inflation is by far the top concern in the country, garnering twice as many votes as the next response, which is abortion. I don't know. For me, I just look at that issue. I mean, I know it's important for a lot of people, but it just seems like, okay, we got our houses on fire right now, and you're worried about a broken toilet. We got, in my opinion, we got much bigger fish to fry. If the unemployment rate, for heaven's sakes, goes up to 25%, as an example, if we go into an economic depression, the last thing you're going to be worried about is abortion, for heaven's sakes. You know, I mean, that's like a rich person thing to worry about. That's not a poor person or you're just barely getting by thing to worry about. But anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand here. And they presented that on the survey for the first time, which you would expect from CNBC. That was followed by crime. Oh, great. So we're worried about inflation, crime, immigration, border security, jobs, and climate change. Cerveza sickness was dead last. Well, good. And that's good news. We're not worried about something that we shouldn't be from that standpoint. as far as jobs. That's interesting, isn't it? That the unemployment rate is incredibly low, historically speaking, but one of the top things that people are worried about are jobs. Makes you think that maybe the jobs people have aren't that great. Maybe they're working two jobs. I know Schiff talks about that all the time. So here, now this diving into the whole deflationary inflation kind of oxymoron that I've been talking about. Taking steps to stretch a dollar. Americans are employing a variety of means to make ends meet. High inflation. 65% of those polled said they're cutting back on entertainment, such as eating out or going to movies and concerts. And that's less economic activity, guys. That is energy prices, food prices, and shelter prices sucking aggregate demand, like we said earlier, away from all these other areas of the economy. More than 4 of 10 are spending less on groceries. Okay, third, using credit cards more often, which could mean higher interest payments if they don't pay off the balances. The survey found 47% of participants say they are taking at least 4 of these measures. And they've got this little infographic that I tweeted out earlier. With gas prices high, 50% of the public say they support relaxing environmental rules to ease prices at the pump, with 42% opposing and 58%. Yeah, see, I wish what they would do is they would stratify that by income group, because you know damn well that the people that are opposed to relaxing the environmental rules are the rich people. Because again, it's like I always say, the rich people want to feel good at the expense of the poor. They want to feel as though they're doing good. They want to sleep well at night. Oh, right, we're saving the planet. We're going to Whole Foods and we're buying the sustainable lettuce or whatever the hell it's called. And maybe not Whole Foods, but as far as all these other things, or a lot of the policies that they approve of come at the expense of the poor. Upcoming congressional elections loom. Okay, so this is where they get into what are the politicians going to do. And, it makes sense that they just look at these polling numbers and say, okay, well, I mean, the good news here, again, is that you're probably not going to see another push, at least at a federal level, for like masks or, any of this nonsense. That's probably going to go by the wayside. And then when, I guess we have to go back to that question that we posed in the title of this video. Are the central planners going to choose inflation or recession? And it seems like they may choose recession, because that's what will pull better. I mean, it's horrific to say that, and it's sad, but that's the reality of the world we live in today. It's like the politicians just look at what policies options they have, and they say, okay, what's going to increase the probability of me getting reelected? Okay, do that. And so if they have to choose between, letting inflation run hot or creating a recession, I think they'll probably choose the recession based on these numbers. We'll have to see how it plays out. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and I will see you on the next video.